and poured out two mugs. "Is it herbal?" she quavered. "Buggered if I know. It's just brown leaves out of a tin."
Magrat looked uncertainly into a mug which pure tannin was staining brown, but she rallied. One thing you had to do when you were queen, she knew, was put commoners at their ease. She cast around for some easeful question.
"It must be very interesting, being a beekeeper," she said. "Yes, it is." "One's often wondered..."
"What?"
"How do you actually milk them?"
The unicorn prowled through the forest. It felt blind and out of place. This wasn't a proper land. The sky was blue, not flaming with all the colours of the aurora. And time was passing. To a creature not born subject to time, it was a sensation not unakin to falling. It could feel its mistress inside its head, too. That was worse even than the passing of time. In short, it was mad. Magrat sat with her mouth open.
"I thought queens were born," she said.
"Oh, no," said Mr. Brooks. "There ain't no such thing as a queen egg. The bees just decide to feed one of them up as a queen. Feeds them royal jelly."
"What happens if they don't?"
"Then it just becomes an ordinary worker, your ladyship," said Brooks, with a suspiciously republican grin. Lucky for it, Magrat thought.
"So they have a new queen, and then what happens to the old one?"
"Oh, usually the old girl swarms," said Mr. Brooks, "pushes off and takes some of the colony with her. I must have seen 1,000 swarms, me. Never seen a royal swarm, though."
"What's a royal swarm?"
"Can't say for sure. It's in some of the old bee books. A swarm of swarms. It's something to see, they say." The old beekeeper looked wistful for a moment.
"Course," he went on, righting himself, "the real fun starts if the weather's bad and the old queen can't swarm, right?"
He moved his hand in a sly circular motion.
"What happens then is, the two queens, that's the old queen, right, and the new queen, the two queens start a-stalking one another among the combs, with the rain a-drumming on the roof of the hive, and the business of the hive a-going on all around them."
Mr. Brooks moved his hands graphically, and Magrat leaned forward.
"All among the combs, the drones all humming, and all the time they can see one another, 'cause they can tell, see, and then they spots one another, and..."
"Yes? Yes?" said Magrat, leaning forward.
"Slash! Stab!"
Magrat hit her head on the wall of the hut.
"Can't have more than one queen in a hive," said Mr. Brooks, calmly.
Magrat looked out at the hives. She'd always liked the look of beehives, up until now.
"Many's the time I've found a dead queen in front of the hive after a spell of wet weather," said Mr. Brooks happily. "Can't abide another queen around the place, you know. And it's a right old battle, too. The old queen's more cunning, but the new queen, she's really got everything to fight for."
"Sorry?"
"If she wants to be mated."
"Oh.
But it gets really interesting in the autumn," said Mr. Brooks. "Hive don't need any dead weight in the winter, see, and there's all these drones hanging around not doing anything, so the workers drag all the drones down to the hive entrance, see, and they bite their..."
"Stop! This is horrible," said Magrat. "I thought beekeeping was, well, nice."
"Of course, that's around the time of year when the bees wear out," said Mr. Brooks. "What happens is, see, your basic bee, why, it works till it can't work no more. And you'll see a lot of old workers a-crawling around in front of the hive, 'cause..."
"Stop it. Honestly, this is too much. I'm queen, you know, almost."
"Sorry, miss," said Mr. Brooks. "I thought you wanted to know a bit about beekeeping."
"Yes, but not this." Magrat swept out.
"Oh, I dunno," said Mr. Brooks. "Does you good to get close to nature."
He shook his head cheerfully as she disappeared among the hedges.
"Can't have more than one queen in a hive," he said. "Slash, stab."
From somewhere in the distance came the scream of Hodges Arg as nature got close to him. Crop circles opened everywhere. Now the universes swung into line. They ceased their boiling spaghetti dance, and to pass through this chicane of history,